Chapter 21. Three Delegations. The portal flared to life with a spatial resonance that shook the very air. Zeke stood at the head of his assembled household, hands clasped behind his back as the first delegation emerged from the swirling vortex. A group of stocky dwarves poured through in orderly rows, their heavy boots striking the platform in perfect synchronization. He recognized several faces immediately. Erlin Ironhide's massive frame was impossible to miss, and beside him walked Drogar, looking somewhat uncomfortable in formal attire. But it was the figure at the center of the formation that made Zeke's spine straighten. An aged dwarf moved with the measured steps of one who had seen centuries pass. His beard, more silver than gray, was woven with mithril threads that caught the light. But what truly set him apart was the absence around him. Where the other dwarves radiated magical presence like forge heat, this one seemed to exist in a pocket of nothingness. Notice: Exarch-level entity detected. Identity: Grimnar Stoneforge, brother to the late king, uncle to the current monarch. Zeke stepped forward, offering a bow that his household mirrored behind him. Lord Stoneforge, representatives of the Mountain Kingdoms, Trade Spire welcomes you. The ancient dwarf's eyes, sharp as chipped obsidian, studied him for a long moment. Then he snorted. Fancy words for a fancy city. Where are we staying, lad? I would be honored to host you at my estate, Zeke replied smoothly. A ripple of discontent passed through the dwarven ranks. One of the younger members actually scoffed. Above ground? In some human mansion? Zeke allowed himself a small smile. If you would follow me, I believe you'll find the accommodations suitable. The gondola ride to his estate was tense with dwarven skepticism. They grumbled about the height, the open air, the impracticality of flying vessels. But when they descended into the newly excavated chambers beneath his manor, the complaints died on their lips. The geometric patterns carved into living stone, the support pillars that seemed to grow from the bedrock itself, the perfect temperature maintained by cleverly designed ventilation, it was dwarven architecture at its finest. By the Stone Father, one of them breathed. Lord Stoneforge ran a gnarled hand along one wall, his expression unreadable. Grimtax boy? Indeed, Zeke confirmed. He insisted on overseeing every detail personally when he heard who was coming. The old ex-archer's lips twitched, perhaps the ghost of a smile. The fool always was a perfectionist. He turned to Zeke, those ancient eyes suddenly sharp. Heard you've got workshops worth seeing. Several. My personal workshop is also available for inspection if you're interested. That got their attention. Even suspicious dwarves couldn't resist the lure of new engineering marvels. Within minutes, the formal atmosphere had dissolved entirely. Dwarves were already planning which workshops to visit first, arguing about optimal inspection routes. Thankfully, Zeke had had the foresight to move all of his more delicate projects, including the mana purifying device, inside the realm of the world anchor beforehand. Lou, he called, and the girl appeared at his elbow with practiced ease. Her small body practically vibrated in the presence of so many master craftsmen. Would you serve as guide for our honored guests? Her eyes widened, but she recovered quickly, offering a proper curtsy. Of course, my lord! Drogar's father clapped her on the shoulder with enough force to stagger a grown man. This little sprite's got metal in her blood. Aye, she'll do fine. As the dwarves followed Lou toward the workshop complex, their voices already rising in technical debate, Zeke allowed himself a moment of satisfaction. One delegation settled. Notice. We just received word of the next delegation's arrival. He barely had time to return to the arrival platform before the portal bloomed again, this time with a gentler light that seemed to carry the scent of deep forests. The elven delegation emerged like a procession from a dream, flowing robes, measured steps, each movement deliberate and graceful. But Zeke's eyes locked onto a single figure among them, and all pretense of lordly dignity evaporated. Margaret! He crossed the distance in three quick strides and pulled her into an embrace that would have scandalized any court. She stiffened for a moment. Over a year among the elves had clearly reinforced certain proprieties, then melted into the hug with a sound that might have been a sob.
My lord,
she managed, her voice thick.
I've returned.
So you have. He held her at arm's length, studying her face. The elven influence was subtle but present, her posture more refined, her expressions more controlled. But the defiant spark in her eyes remained unbroken. We have much to discuss.
Later,
she murmured, glancing meaningfully at the waiting delegation. Right, formalities. Zeke released her and turned to face the elves properly. The woman at their center made even the concept of age seem irrelevant. Her golden hair seemed to capture and reflect light in impossible ways, and when she moved, Zeke could swear he smelled spring flowers. Identification. Matriarch Selvanna Goldleaf. Life Exarch. Age. Estimated 850 plus years. Matriarch Goldleaf, he said, offering a bow precisely calibrated to show respect without subservience. Your presence honors my house. She studied him with eyes that seemed to see through flesh and bone to something deeper. When she smiled, it was like watching the sun rise. Young Ezekiel, I've heard much about you. The way she said young made him feel approximately 5 years old. And so have I, he offered carefully. Margaret has spoken of your interest in trade expansion. Oh, we're interested in far more than trade, I assure you, but let's not talk of such mundane affairs now. She glided closer, and he had to resist the urge to step back. This close, her presence was overwhelming, not threatening exactly, but intensely vital, as if she were more real than everything around her. Tell me, is it true you've met Cassius? The question came from nowhere, delivered with the casual tone of someone asking about the weather, but Zeke could feel the weight behind it. Briefly, he admitted, in Iraq. And what did you think of him? What kind of answer was she looking for? Zeke's mind raced through possibilities before settling on honesty. Brilliant, industrious, and surprisingly open-minded, given his reputation. She laughed, a sound like wind chimes. All true. He mentioned you in his latest letter, you know, called you adequately interesting, which from Cassius is practically a declaration of love. More questions followed, each seemingly innocent but probing deeper than the last. His research methods, his advancement speed, his understanding of mana. Zeke deflected what he could, offered partial truths where necessary, and occasionally let genuine insight slip through. He couldn't afford to seem a fool, but neither could he reveal too much. You seem to have a unique method of nurturing your core, she said finally. Where did you learn it? A dangerous question. My mentor left extensive notes. I've merely refined his observations. She didn't press, but her expression suggested she knew there was more to the story. Well then, shall we see these accommodations you've prepared? The tree houses in his eastern forest drew satisfied nods from the elven delegation. Even Selvanna's perpetual composure cracked slightly as she ran her fingers along the living wood. Elven work, she murmured. I'd recognize it anywhere. I had some help in ensuring cultural sensitivity, Zeke agreed. Maya, he called, and his sister emerged from behind one of the larger oaks. She'd clearly been watching the elves with barely contained excitement, her affinities resonating with their presence. Would you guide our guests? Maya's eyes lit up. Of course! She turned to the elves with a bow that was technically perfect, if slightly overenthusiastic. If you'll follow me, honored guests. As the elves dispersed to explore their temporary homes, Selvanna lingered. Your sister? She asked, watching Maya lead the group toward the stream that wound between the trees. Affinities in life and nature, correctly nurtured, could bloom into something remarkable, as you are well aware. Zeke nodded, thinking of Cassius, who shared Maya's exact affinities. The man had combined them to achieve his unique growth-type magic. Selvanna smiled again, and this time it actually reached her eyes. We shall speak more, young lord. I find myself quite curious about what other surprises you might be hiding. She glided away before he could respond, leaving him with the distinct feeling he'd just survived an interrogation. Notice, large object approaching from the east. Zeke looked up to see what could only be described as an impossibility against the afternoon sky. The skeletal form moved with a grace that defied its lack of muscle or sinew, wing bones catching air that shouldn't have been able to support them, and on its back, a child, he murmured. The creature circled once before landing in the courtyard with surprising delicacy. Its passenger slid down with the easy confidence of someone dismounting a pony rather than an undead monstrosity. She couldn't have been more than 12, with coal-black hair and grey eyes that belonged on someone who'd seen centuries pass. She wore a simple dark dress that wouldn't have looked out of place on any merchant's daughter, except for the way shadows seemed to cling to its hem. "Child of blood," she said, and hearing Sheol's familiar cadence from such a young throat was deeply unsettling. How refreshing to see you've survived your latest ambitions. Sheol, he bowed, uncertain what else to do. Your form is unexpected. She laughed, a bright, childish sound that somehow made the skeletal creature behind her seem even more unnatural. I sometimes forget how attached most living beings are to appearances. Zeke highly doubted that. If anything, Sheol had likely chosen that form on purpose to make people even more uncomfortable in their presence, a ploy that was likely to work too. Would you care to join me at my estate? How could I refuse such gracious hospitality? She skipped, actually skipped, toward him. Lead the way, child of blood. I won't ask for anything but a quiet place to rest. Do you think you'll manage to provide that? As Zeke led the King of the Dead toward his manor, he couldn't shake the feeling that Sheol's question wasn't entirely rhetorical. Three exarchs, three completely different cultures, all with their own agendas and centuries of complicated history. Notice, all three delegations successfully received. Current exarch count within estate boundaries, three confirmed. Recommend maximum security protocols. Zeke didn't need Akasha's warning. He could feel it in the very air. Power enough to reshape continents, all gathered under his hospitality. The next few days would either establish him as a masterful diplomat or see his estate reduced to a very expensive crater. He suspected the odds were about even.